Welcome. We'll start our recording. As an introduction, one word was a very big word last week we talked about was clinging. Clinging is something that happens all the time in the most unexpected circumstances. We do an action. We think it's absolutely insignificant. And yet the action creates a karma, right? We all know that, right? And the very fact that we think that the action is insignificant is already clinging to a wrong view. Okay, should I repeat that? The very fact that we think of an action as insignificant is already clinging to a wrong view. Does anybody have an idea why? Just out of curiosity, anybody want to hazard a guess? There's no right and wrong, just hazard a guess. I'm taking notes here. I'm going to mark each one of you how much you're paying attention, you know.
Well, because I understand what you're saying, and yeah. I've been in that situation, but I'm not quite sure what it is you're asking us.
Go back to the sutra we just finished. Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the emphasis of that sutra? That was 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The Mahatanhaya Sutra, right? The Sutra of Clinging. What, for something to happen, where does it come from? You remember the words?
Yes.
Senam, you're about to say something?
Like your senses, you get your senses when you're born and they develop into feelings and then you start to make attachments.
Okay, but what do you call that process?
Something origination.
Yes, dependent origination. So any action that I take, there's an origin, right? Any action we take, any thought we have, any speech we make, any bodily function that occurs, you know, we got to go to the toilet. What was the origin of that?
We had food or water.
Exactly. So simple. We had food. And what was the origin of having food or water?
Because we were hungry.
Okay. Could there be other origins of having food or water even though we're not hungry?
Emotional eating, maybe. Stress.
Emotional eating. And how about friends say, hey, let's go get a drink on a Friday night. Go out to a bar and have a glass of wine. Or not a bar. A snack. Tapas, right? Nothing heavy duty. Right? Are we hungry when we go to the tapas bar with friends? I mean, sometimes yes, but most often no, right? And we eat. Do you start to see the beginning of a problem? Because according to the Buddha Dharma, if we're eating when we're not hungry, then we are creating an environment to do something that our body is not asking us to do. And our body is the one that really should be telling us when we're hungry and not hungry, because that's what happens when we put something in our body. It digests it, right? And by digesting it, it then goes through the process of releasing stomach acids. It breaks down, first it breaks down in the mouth, then it goes down into the stomach breaks, then it goes into the duodenum, into the gallbladder, into the liver, has to discharge, and the pancreas, insulin goes out and goes to the small intestine. And as a result of that, new nourishment comes to the body, but also new congestion. Neurotransmitters go off in the brain, depending what molecules are being digested, right? You see, there's a whole chain of events here. So, did you just eat that package of chips? Oh, I just had that small bag of potato chips. Oh, I went to the movie and I bought myself M&M peanuts. Very bad habit. So what happens there? Oh, I just had that bag of M&M peanuts. I just had that small bag of chips. That's not important. But do you see what's happening here? What am I clinging to when I say that?
The dependent origination?
No. Well, that's taking place because that's happening all the time. But what is the origin of my statement that that's insignificant?
You normalized it in a way?
Yes. Perfect. Yes. I've somehow denied it, right? I'm saying that's what you assume, that's what you're saying, right? Somehow I say, oh, that's okay. It's just normal, right? Exactly. I've denied the fact that there's a big iceberg. I like to call it the iceberg effect. I think I said that early on in discourse. We see only the tip of the iceberg over the water, but what sinks the Titanic is what's underneath the water. So what sinks the Titanic of our trying to be present and aware is not realizing the origination condition, the originating condition truly for what our actions. And by saying something is insignificant, we are trivializing or normalizing it. Let's go to the next step of that. If we normalize something, what does it usually become if we normalize it frequently? What would we call that?
A habit.
A habit.
It's hard to break habits.
And it's very hard to break habits. If you ever doubt how hard it is to break a habit, try brushing your teeth with the other hand. This is a very interesting test we used to do years ago. I think 30 years, no, it was more, it was in the 80s, 40 years ago when I was in Berkeley and I was just starting out in all my Oriental healing studies. And one of the things we used to play with is breaking habits. So we'd challenge each other to break habits. And one was brushing your teeth with the other hand, which is very simple to do. But it's very difficult because the habitual action of brushing one's teeth with one hand is very important. And it has very little to do with right hand, left hand, a little bit, but not too much. We found that right-handed people could switch to left hand and left-handed people could switch to right hand if they made the effort every day to do it. And does anybody hazard a guess how long it would take approximately? It's established, it's not a
21 days, 21
days. Yes, exactly, Kat, exactly. 21 days. 21 days, you have to do something different than you did originally to break that habit. So if we normalize things, we create habits. Now, if we normalize breathing and anapanasati and sitting every day, that's a habit that will help us understand things. If we normalize trivializing or making things we do insignificant, then that's a different kind of habit. Understand? Okay, so the PDF with the questions, philosophy of life. What's the first question? Anybody, read it out.
Why do we even discuss these topics which we encounter?
Right, why do we? These are questions for you guys, not for me. Well, I ask them of myself all the time, but today it's for you.
We want to understand ourselves.
Understand ourselves, good response. Other answers?
I think for me, it's for meaning.
For meaning?
For sense.
Giving meaning to our lives.
To make sense of these topics in general.
Okay. These topics are separate from us, or these topics as they relate to us?
As they relate to us, I guess.
So we're invested in the process, right? I think we could say we're invested in the process. Okay.
For me, I want a more peaceful mind. I want more balance in my life.
Okay, we want more peaceful mind and more balance. What's the next question?
Why do we even attend the Sangha meetings?
Right. Why do we even attend the Sangha meetings? Why?
To gain an understanding and knowledge of the Buddhist teachings as presented by you.
Okay. Okay.
I attend because I really enjoy listening mm-hmm. all of you and sharing your perspective on all of this.
Okay, so we're talking a little bit like there's a bit of a community here, is that correct? Okay. What else?
I continue to come because I gain something every week. And whether it's a little person, a bit of more knowledge, just awakens something inside me, and just actually seeing you guys every week is nice too.
Okay. So is there any, okay, anybody else?
I think we're a Sangha because the teaching you presented by you speaks to all of us. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. I mean, there are so many different communities, Buddhist communities, other spiritual communities, or non-spiritual, just discussion groups. And this seems to work for us. We're somehow connected.
That's right.
Karmically connected, or I don't know, maybe there's another way to put it, but it works for all the members here today. And it helps us, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't, or interests us, or we wouldn't be here.
Okay. So we're finding some kind of meaning for ourselves in this process. Mm-hmm. That's correct. You'd say that's a fair assumption?
It resonates for me. I mean, there's some resonation. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, it resonates. Okay, that's good.
I think we also learn from each other.
Okay, exactly, definitely. I learn a lot from all of you. Okay, next one. Why do we do anything at all?
Because we decide, each of us decided. So we don't have, nobody has to do anything because somebody says, but I can speak for myself. It was my decision to participate or to try to understand the true nature reality of what it is that I am. So it's only my decision to pursue this. Nobody else's. Somebody may not want to do anything at all, perhaps.
What about broader than just this Sangha? Why do we do anything at all?
Why not do anything? I mean, we're here and all. In this one life, we don't, then what do? We want to be our best self. We want to just learn. We want to know more. Why not?
Yeah,
we seek to make some sense and have some understanding, to find a method that makes sense that we can utilize.
Okay, now we're all starting to go around a theme. Can you hear the theme? In everybody's comments, started actually from the very first question to now. Anybody want to hazard a guess what the theme is?
Wisdom.
Wisdom? What do we do with wisdom?
We make ourselves better.
Make ourselves better? What does that mean?
Practice, to develop a practice for understanding.
Okay. A practice for understanding. And why do we want to understand?
We want to live a better life.
Okay, again, Rebecca, is it better? What is better?
To be at peace. To be at peace.
To be at peace, okay, that's one definition of better. What definition did the Buddha give in terms of betterment? He had one word that we used a lot. What are we trying to do by doing all these things with, according to his teaching? What will be
awareness? Awareness.
Awareness. Okay. But more specifically, what he specifically mentioned will be the end result of all of this.
Extinguishment.
Nirvana.
That's nirvana. That's the end result. But what are we eradicating?
Suffering.
Yes. Dukkha. Let's use the word dukkha because suffering, we all now know that means much more than just suffering in the limited sense, right? Existential angst. Why not, as Quinn said, or get to know more about what we're trying to do, or learn about these topics, how they relate to us, as Senna mentioned. All of you were talking about something, describing the same thing. But then question number four, after all, who can claim to be an authority in our life except ourselves? And don't we know what is best for us, what we like about what we want and what our goals are? So why would we study something if we know all these things ourselves?
Because personally, I think sometimes you need guidance on this path. And I myself, in the beginning of my studies with Oren, I would say things like, oh, I just feel it's right because, you know, I feel it, it's my intuition. And is it really intuition or is it something that you are comfortable with or some habits that you've developed that are actually making you decide one thing or another? So I think guidance from somebody you trust or community, I guess you trust, is important.
Mm-hmm. I many times say to people that.
Okay.
You need a power that is greater than your fear. And I've come to realize that the power is the box that's presented to us that gives us the tools to be able to achieve that. And with the Dharma, we can, you know, it gives us options, and we can either choose to embrace or we can choose not to.
Right. Okay. Others?
Well, when that question, who can claim to be authority in our life except ourselves? And don't we know what's best for us? Obviously, I've gotten myself into situations that I thought were best for me that really weren't. And I've had goals that whether I took them on because other people thought that's what I should do and directed me that way that really weren't mine. And so I'm looking for a way to discard all of that and to really get down to who and what I am.
Right.
And what may sit better for me than what others have. You know, I doubt my own authority on my own life and setting my own goals.
Okay. So
the I'm question seeking is, a higher good.
Right. And so is the question that we are not our own, we're not really our own authority? Could that be what we're saying? That's possible that we're not the person who knows best for us? Okay. So the question being, we presume that we know what's best for ourselves. But is that actually true? That's why I wanted to ask the question. Okay. Because oftentimes people will say, well, why are you doing that? Well, I'm doing that because I want to, right? Or because I like to, or I think it's the right thing to do. But how do we know what the right thing is? How do we know that our goals are really what we want? Or as Kat just said, perhaps someone has led us in a direction that we didn't really want to go, but we thought, oh, well, maybe this is right. We went along and then realized it isn't what we want. I mean, that's something that we've all been, right? A place we've all been. In relationships with people, in our work situations, in discussions. You start a certain type of interaction and all of a sudden you find yourself somewhere and you go, well, I didn't want to be here. Right? Has anybody not experienced that? Good. I'm happy that everybody said that or didn't say that. So now, how about the fifth question? And this relates to that previous question. Are the goals important, or is it the journey and process of getting there that is? Anybody?
I think the process is much more important. Of course, goals can make the process more direct, more fulfilling, more happier somehow. But it's the journey, of course, as always.
It's the journey. Okay. Anybody else?
I was thinking about this actually this morning as I was on my walk, and I realized like only this morning, it came to me as a thought that I always think about the goal, and I always think about the goal, like on every level. And I realized that that's what has been stressing me so much, to stop and enjoy the journey. And maybe I'm a late bloomer, or I will be like changing a lot of things to really enjoy the process. But I realized that just clinging on to the goal is really, really tiring, and it's not worth it.
Okay.
But it's where that's where the angst starts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very much where the angst starts.
I agree with you, Johnny. Very much so. And I just went through a process in my life where I had a goal, and the journey and the process of trying to achieve that goal were very different. And until I was able to release the goal, I was not able to release the angst. And
right.
Once I did that, I have started to find, you know, some peace and being able to also let go of some of the suffering.
Good.